Welcome to Timeless Truth with Pastor Jim Thomas, a resource of the Village Chapel in Nashville, Tennessee. This season, we're giving our attention to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. We invite you to read ahead in the Gospel of Matthew, chapters 5 through 7. We're also introducing a new schedule, releasing new episodes every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. May the Lord use these studies of God's Word for your good and for His glory. Now, here's Pastor Jim.
The Sermon on the Mount is perhaps the most famous sermon ever preached. Who preached it? Well, most people would know that it was Jesus Christ of Nazareth who preached the Sermon on the Mount. But from where and to whom did Jesus preach that sermon? I wish we had a video of it. Matter of fact, I would love to have had a video of any of Jesus' teachings, the Sermon on the Mount for sure being at the top of the list. But it's not so much the when and the where and the to whom as it is the content of the Sermon on the Mount that I think has given it wings to carry it through history as the most significant sermon ever preached. What about those opening statements? You'll have heard of them. They're called the Beatitudes. A lot of folks say they live by them, and yet a lot of folks probably can't name very many of the 8 or 9 sayings that we call the Beatitudes. Are they a list of rules to follow? Are they something we're supposed to achieve? Something we're supposed to use as just guidelines in life? Or is there something more to the Beatitudes and to the Sermon on the Mount? I'm hoping you're going to be able to join me for the next 6 weeks as we explore the Sermon on the Mount here on Timeless Truth. As well, I want to encourage you each and every week to read through the entire Sermon on the Mount. It's just really 3 chapters in Matthew's Gospel, chapters 5, 6, and 7. So join me. We're going to read it each and every week. That way, we'll have read through the Sermon on the Mount this probably 6 times, is my guess. We'll do about 6 weeks on this. As well, each time we gather for a little study, I want to pray the Sermon on the Mount, too. I think that's so important that we learn to pray the Scriptures and learn how to approach God, open our hearts and our minds and our lives and our wills to God, submit all of who we are to all of who He is, so that He can begin to change and transform us. Now, you may have heard of the leadership principle before. It goes something like this: begin with the end in mind. It's a way of starting something that generally leads us to greater clarity, better efficiency, and probably a greater sense of purpose and mission and whatever it is we're seeking to do or in whatever it is we're seeking to become. Like me, you might be curious or have become fascinated by the person Jesus Christ and by His teachings. What was it about them? If you're going to begin with the end in mind on the Sermon on the Mount, I just got to go to the very end of the sermon today. That's all we're going to do today is take a look at that. And I want to read a couple of verses from Matthew chapter 7, the last couple of verses. And that gives us sort of the end in mind. Watch what happens after Jesus teaches from Matthew's gospel in what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And I think that goes back to the time of Augustine, so one of the early church fathers. Some of you have heard of him, but it wasn't like Jesus stood up and said, "And now the Sermon on the Mount," or his disciples held up a card or something that said, "This way up the hill to the Sermon on the Mount." No, but here's what the result was. I love this. Chapter 7 of Matthew's Gospel, verses 28 and 29. That's all I want to read today. And then we'll dive into the actual Sermon on the Mount in the next episode. But here's the result, the end in mind. The result was that when Jesus had finished these words, the multitudes were amazed at His teaching, for He was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. In other words, their scribes had nowhere near the amount of authority in what they said the way they said it, the way it was perceived and received. There's something that has happened in the teachings of Jesus that puts him in a whole nother class as a teacher, as a rabbi, as a savior, as a redeemer, and as a Lord. So let me talk about that word amazed. I love that word. It's a little bit overused in our own day and time. So if we're looking to begin with the end in mind and being having hearts and minds that get amazed, okay? Is that possible in our day and time when we can create almost anything on a computer screen and we can fly through the air. We can have light beams coming out of our palms. We can shoot spider webs out of our wrists. We can do all kinds of space travel, everything. And yet, in reality, authentic reality is so much better than augmented reality or any kind of fake reality, if you will, virtual reality, which can be. You know, I'm not saying that it's all bad. I'm just simply saying there's something to amazement and wonder and astonishment when it breaks into authentic reality, actual reality. And that's what was happening on the ground for these guys. And we're all of us, even in our own day and time, with all of our skills, all of our creativity, all of our technology, we still find ourselves longing for something more. And I'm going to suggest to you that we're looking for the same thing these folks were looking for, and that Jesus' answer to the question, what is the flourishing life? What is what is real life, authentic life? What is that really all about? 2,000 years ago, I think Jesus gave a great answer to it in this passage we call the Sermon on the Mount. So for anyone who has wondered what the flourishing life looks like, or the good life, the philosophers used to call it the summum bonum, what is the highest thing that we could aspire to or achieve in life that would be the good, the true and the beautiful? What is that? Well, anybody who's ever asked those kinds of questions, anyone who's ever suffered with chronic dissatisfaction, listlessness, acedia, ennui, anyone paralyzed by those big questions about the meaning and purpose of life, man, I hope you'll join me on this walk through the Sermon on the Mount. This is Jesus' answer to all of those questions. And just give you a couple quotes before I let you go. Jonathan Pennington has a book called The Sermon on the Mount, and it describes Jesus' answer to human flourishing. He really focuses in on the teaching of Jesus about human flourishing. And he says this: the sermon is Christianity's answer to the greatest metaphysical question that humanity has always faced. How can we experience true human flourishing? What is happiness, blessedness, shalom, and how does one obtain and sustain it? Now, if that doesn't arouse your curiosity, I don't know what will. If we wanted to learn about how we can obtain it, and how we can sustain it, I think that's really important. I mean, it's one thing to say that there is such a thing as a good life. There are probably people that don't believe there is, and they've given up and live under a stifling cloud of despair. But if we were to hear someone posit the notion that there is such a thing as the flourishing life, and that's what Jesus came, and that's what Jesus came and taught about and exhibited in his own life. Even through his suffering, even through his death, he still showed us what it meant to be human in the divine sense of its original creation design. And so it's a completely different way of being human and being in relationship with people, and especially in relationship with God. So we're going to explore all of that because we think Jesus is the one we should turn to if we're looking for answers to those kinds of questions. It's Jesus, after all, who designed, created, and sort of came and lived out the human life. So he not only conceptually understood it from a design standpoint and a creation standpoint. It's what we're told in John's Gospel, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. I love that. So Jesus, present at the creation event, Jesus, part of the creation action, is the one we ought to turn to. He has not only the knowledge and the wisdom, but he has the experience of having been human, having come and become one of us. So we do really well to turn to Jesus with our big questions. I love also what Martin Lloyd-Jones taught about the Sermon on the Mount. He's got a thick volume on it. I highly recommend it if you want to go get his sermons on the Sermon on the Mount. He said, once more, we are reminded of the greatness of this Sermon on the Mount, its searching character, the profundity of its teaching. Indeed, its truly alarming character. There never has been such a sermon as this. It finds us all somehow, somewhere. There is no possibility of escape. It searches us out in all our hiding places and brings us out into the light of God. That's what's going to happen as we study through the Sermon on the Mount together. As you read it six times, if you join me in doing that each and every week. John Stott also has a commentary on the Sermon on the Mount in which he says, the Sermon on the Mount describes what human life and human community look like when they come under the gracious rule of God. And what do they look like? He asks the question. And then he'll go on to expound on the Sermon on the Mount, especially the Beatitudes in that particular portion of his commentary on the Sermon on the Mount. All right, let's pray. We're going to pray through this thing as we go along. And I want to just close our time out today in prayer. Lord, thank you for your word, that it's living and active. I pray that as we study the Sermon on the Mount together, Holy Spirit, you'll open our eyes to the timeless truths in the Sermon on the Mount, to the wonders of your grace available to sinners such as we are, through the finished work of Christ on the cross and in his glorious resurrection. So, Lord, give us a clearer vision of your truth, a greater faith in your power, and a more confident assurance of your love for us as we study the Sermon on the Mount together. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to today's study. Take a moment to leave a review and share this episode with friends and family. You can stay connected by signing up for our newsletter or follow us on social media. At the Village Chapel, we believe God's Word is unique in its source, timeless in its truth, broad in its reach, and transforming in its power. For more resources or to support our ministry, visit our website, thevillagechapel.com.